Hello, I'm Paul.
Hello, I'm Adam.
And I'm Ben. Welcome to Film Busters.
Welcome.
Jesus Christ, was that Donald Duck?
A duck died.
Cue the theme music. Film
Busters. What's the scores, George Dawes?
The scores are Ben, 28, Adam, 29, and Paul, 27. For anyone who doesn't know, this is our question game. We ask a question every time, and we've been keeping a score. Adam and Ben have got to try and get the answer first. If they don't get it, I get the point.
It's tight. It's tight at the top at the moment. Very tight.
Are we ready?
Yes.
We're ready.
In this week, in 1960, which 3 hours and 32-minute long Hollywood epic swept the Oscars, winning 11 of the 12 categories in which it was nominated?
Ben-Hur.
Oh, he got it!
Did he?
He got it! Jesus Christ.
I was going to say Spartacus, but
made it to 30. Well.
Yes, fuck you, Ben.
Adam.
Congrats.
Crushing me, man.
That was
I'm
brilliant.
Surprised you didn't get that one, Ben.
I was going to... No, I mean, I was trying to think. I was going to say Spartacus, but like 1960...
That's what I was initially thinking, Spartacus, because the length of the film, but...
Good lads, well done,
that
son.
That was very well done, Adam.
That was very well done. I was thinking, I was trying to think, like, what's such a long film that's won so many Oscars? Ben-Hur. Even if I'd been here for 5 minutes, I probably wouldn't have said Ben-Hur.
Right, should we go on to the news?
Excuse me, can you pass me that newspaper over there? I want to know what's going on at the pictures. Thank you.
Okay, you ready to discuss this piece of news?
Yeah.
Daniel Craig has quit James Bond and Tom Hardy's going to replace him.
Has he actually? Is that confirmed?
That's not true. That's definitely not true. That's 100% not true. This is the April Fool's podcast. Something like that, isn't it?
It is. This is April Fool's news.
So I fucking knew that, man. Good attempt.
Tell me what you think of all these pieces of news. Firstly, this talk about the James Bond one. Would you be happy with that?
He would be fine, but like it's better to see Tom Hardy in strange roles rather than something.
Yeah,
mainstream.
Tom Hardy's not classy enough.
I think he could pull it off though.
Nah,
yeah,
he's too much of a brute. He's too much of a brute.
He is a brute. I would only like it if he played his role from Taboo. If he played the character from Taboo as Bond, that big
we'll
beard,
Alfie
the top
Simmons
hat
from Peaky Blinders.
With the top hat.
No spoilers about that Peaky Blinders. I haven't seen him come in Peaky Blinders yet.
Okay, let's go to the next piece of news. Tell me what you think of this. This is an April Fool's section, by the way.
Okay.
Todd Phillips' Joker with Joaquin Phoenix is a Dark Knight prequel.
Really?
Well,
that's like not even worthy of any news. If that was April Fool's or normal.
I know. If someone said, oh, April Fool's said that, I'd be like, oh, so what? It's not even like... That's like saying, I had a cup of tea this morning. No, I didn't. April fucking Fool's.
Yeah, I had my cup of tea before my breakfast. It was a prequel to my breakfast.
It was a prequel to my coffee.
How about this one? Ken Jeong cast as Short Round in Indiana Jones 5.
Well, at least that's funny. At least that's funny. He would be about that age now, right?
I think it'd be quite good to see Short Round.
Not Kim Jong-un, though.
Not Kim Jong-un.
Oh, who are you talking about?
Ken Jeong, the guy from Hangover. He's come back around into the next podcast.
Oh, shit. Sorry, I thought you were saying Kim Jong-un had been cast in that role. And that was the April Fool. That would be great. I would see that movie.
Mm. Paul, I think your bit of April Fool's is better than those news ones.
What was that?
Yeah, you did a real April Fool April that Fool's. Actually fooled us, but yes. What's the truth?
Yes.
I know.
I tried to fool Ben and Adam by telling everyone that I got... I proposed to my girlfriend, now fiance, and they did not believe me because it was
because he did it on Sunday morning.
Did it on April
the 1st
yeah,
of April
in the morning. I bet there was a little part of her that must have thought, "Is this for real?"
Is that the worst prank ever?
I know. Yeah, I would have been horrible if someone.
I really
didn't
know.
That's instant breaking up.
Yeah,
surely that is a horrible thing to do. Let's go to a more serious piece of news. Spielberg was talking about Netflix, said about how he doesn't think they should get Oscars, they should get Emmys, because he thinks they're a TV medium. Even if it's a Netflix film, they shouldn't be up for an Oscar because they're a TV film. What do you think about that?
I kind of see where it's coming from.
Yeah, I do as well.
Because they're not widely released like a normal film.
But some of them are. Like Bright was put out in the cinema, wasn't it?
No, I don't think it was.
I swear they put them out for like a day or something sometimes. But the cinemas kick off.
They've probably got a limited release somewhere.
Yeah, because the cinemas kick off because they're like, well, we're not going to show this film because it's going to go on Netflix next week, and then everyone's going to watch it and it comes on Netflix for free. Or would you pay to go to the cinema to see it?
You can't. I mean, no, I agree with him on this. It should be Emmys only because it is a TV movie. If that's the criteria, like if other TV movies aren't qualifying because they're on TV, then yeah, there should be an Emmy.
I guess so. Yeah, yeah. If you're thinking about doing it for other TV movie kind of stuff, then I guess that would be the truth, wouldn't it?
Because like standard movie reviewers, like Mark Kermode, who has to it's like a dream job, like 8 or 9 movies every week, and then reviews
such a hard
it
life.
Every Friday. That's my mate. That is the dream. I would love that. He's got the best job in the world.
What we're going for it? That's what we're trying to do here.
I know, but we have to watch 8 or 9 films a week, and if we start watching all the Netflix ones as well, we'd be here till doomsday.
Beautiful. I'd love to do that.
There's far too many Netflix don't do very good movies, I don't think.
Nah, not yet. I haven't done it.
Have you watched Annihilation, you two, yet?
I've watched it.
We'll talk about that at the end, Adam.
Let's talk about things we've watched. Remind me that I watched it because I totally forgotten. From what you said about a film that's put on TV, a TV movie that's not a Netflix film, that is true. They wouldn't get an Oscar, so why should that be any different?
Have any of them ever been nominated for an Oscar yet?
Yeah, that film about the hippo, what was it called? Okja? Or something like that?
Oh, yeah, Okja, yeah.
OKJA, I think that got nominated for an Oscar. I haven't seen it, of course.
I've seen it.
What did you think?
Pretty average.
Yeah, it did. It was nominated for Best Visual Effects. So there you go.
I thought the effects are pretty bog standard in that film.
Really?
Yeah.
Nothing to compare it to, my friend.
No, you could like properly tell that it was a big hippo that was CGI.
Well, quite.
Well, it was actually a pig, sorry, not a hippo.
You're racist to the animals.
A super pig.
Super pig, I'm not interested.
Right, I've just got one more piece of news. This is like some bullet points about the Halloween film that's coming out.
Yes,
I thought we could
please.
Just talk about. And so, a couple of
tell
things.
Tell me everything, I want to hear everything. Okay. Tell me everything about it.
The original Mike Myers actor, Nick Castle,
yes,
who we're talking about, he's only actually doing a couple of scenes and they've got another guy to do the rest of it.
I know.
Yeah.
They got a stuntman to do most of it, but that's always been the case. Do you know, in the first Halloween, there was Nick Castle, played Michael Myers, John Carpenter, the director, played Michael Myers, Deborah Cushing, I think it was Deborah Cushing, who was John Carpenter's girlfriend at the time. She plays young Michael Myers' hand when he reaches for the knife drawer. Another actor, some like runner,
Mike Myers,
played Michael Myers when he has the mask off. You know, in that first, you know, in Halloween when his mask comes off, that face. He never played Michael Myers for the rest of the film. He was only there for the unmasking bit, and that's it.
That's quite interesting. That's quite fun that they just like thought, yeah, go on, you can play him this time.
Everyone have a little bit of it. Yeah,
that's cool. I like that.
I'm excited for this one. Sorry, I interrupted.
It's all right. Did you know that Danny McBride's doing the script?
Yeah.
Did you know that, Adam?
Nope.
You know who Danny McBride is?
I do know the name.
He's a comedian. He was in Pineapple Express.
Oh, yeah. The bigger guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, the friend. Who they
You're really interested in that, aren't you?
Yeah, I know.
I was a bit dubious when I heard that, but like I heard that he's a really massive fan of the original, so I think that's a good.
Yeah,
they're not gonna. It's not being written as a comedy, I don't think.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't imagine.
You hope not. It's gonna have Seth Rogen in it now.
Oh,
yeah, he's gonna unmask and it'll be Seth Rogen. Oh,
fucking hell!
John Carpenter's doing the score.
Wonderful, that is. Yeah. Has to be.
Bringing him back, keeping it original.
The iconic horror score, man. Yeah. Nothing scarier.
Yeah.
Just that music is like so effective.
And the last piece of information, which I think is quite beautiful and very nice touch, he's going to be wearing the original mask, which is 40 years old.
What do you mean? The mask they used in the original film?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
And it's all deteriorated by 40 years.
Has it?
Yeah.
Well, naturally, yeah.
Naturally.
Man, That must have taken some care, though, because, like, wearing that after 40 years, what if they damaged it? It's getting used, whereas it's probably not been used for years.
Well, you better talk to them about it.
Damn.
You're very concerned.
That's great. I don't want it to break apart, but that's great, man. That is really good.
Would you be upset if it broke apart halfway through the film?
Surely they
and
would
Seth
as well.
Rogen's face is just exposed.
Yeah, man. Oh, my God. That would be great. That would be really good. But you've seen Halloween 2, haven't you? As in Rob Zombie's one.
Yeah.
You know, because the mask is all ripped up in that one, isn't it? And the big fucking beard is sticking through.
Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of like that and I kind of hate it. Okay.
Right, news. We're on to news. We don't give a fuck about.
We don't give a fuck about.
Yeah!
News. We don't give a fuck about. I've got a beautiful piece of news, guys. They're bringing the team back together. The original team.
Team America?
No.
The original team.
A beautiful 90s team.
Scooby-Doo.
They're all girls. And they're very spicy.
Powerpuff Girls.
Spice Girl movie.
Spice Girls animated movie.
Oh, fuck me. Why?
You probably like that, Ben. Like, you like Sex and the City.
Yeah, not animated Sex and the City. And then, well, it's about women, so it must be the same. Sex and the City, Spice Girls, yeah.
How random's that? They're actually What's got, the point? They actually got all of them. Ginger. Scary. Baby.
What else are they doing
sporty.
These days, though?
Yeah.
Is that all
true.
Of them?
Posh.
Posh, yeah, you miss Posh.
I'm Posh.
Well, they got to pick up the paycheck, haven't they? And it's easy to just turn up to a booth and record in a day than it is to turn up and actually act or sing.
It's true.
Highly annoying.
I don't know why they're doing that.
No. Fucking
surely
stupid.
They're not relevant anymore.
They're not, but see, if they actually reunited and did a tour, I'd probably buy tickets to go see them. Yes.
Oh,
why not?
Oh, Benjamin.
Why not?
Oh, Benjamin. Come on.
Now listen. It's absolutely fine.
It's fine.
They're big
fine.
In the 90s. It is. I'll be there. Fuck it.
You had your bunchies in the 90s, didn't you?
Man.
You had your hair up in the bunchies.
Look.
Wearing a baby blue tracksuit.
What can you say? What can you say about this? Anyway, that's all we got to say about Spice Girls.
That's all we got. Let's move on to trailers.
That is news I don't give a fuck about. That's the first time I think that it really was news I didn't give a fuck about.
I don't live in a caravan, so why are you showing me that trailer trash?
We watched Upgrade.
Yes.
How do you feel about this trailer?
Tell what it is.
Adam, could you explain the plot of Upgrade?
I don't know, a guy has a chip in the back of his neck and he becomes like superhuman and he can fight everybody and break legs.
Break legs.
There was a lot of breaking of legs in that trailer and arms.
There's breaking of
and
wrists.
And faces.
Yeah. Yes.
I don't know, it looks like it could be good. Again, it's that whole thing, it looks like it could be good, but it's probably going to be a load of shit.
Ooh, actually, I've just looked it up on IMDb.
Mm.
It's by Lee Whannell.
Do you remember that name?
Yeah? It's Adam from Saw.
It's Adam
from Saw.
Did
say this when it popped up through the... who made like, Insidious or that came up.
In his defence, it did, Paul. You were not paying attention.
No, but I thought it was something to do with James Wan.
Well...
James Wan is normally the director. He's actually... He actually doesn't do anything. He does writing.
I think it does kind of look all right. At first,
I hope
it's
going to be good.
Like
it's a good concept.
Yeah.
Even though I feel like I've seen the concept before, it just seemed...
I just liked to see him in those scenes where he was kicking all ass, but like his face was like he didn't want to be doing any of it.
Yeah,
but
it was quite funny.
Yeah,
that
kitchen.
Was pretty good. Yeah. When he grabs the knife, when he's like, oh, what they call it, Stem, he's got a knife. Now we have a knife. Yes. And just stabs that person
and
in front
and his face is like totally emotionless, like, what the hell am I doing?
That's hard to act. Yeah, I don't know how that was done. Maybe a little CGI.
And how his head's like completely still and his body's moving.
That's what makes you think a little CGI.
Yeah. It reminds me a little bit of like Crank. Remember that film?
Yeah.
Jason Statham.
It's
like hyper violence and it's a bit fun. It's just basically a little fun ride.
Yeah.
That's what I think it's going to be. I'm quite interested. I'll watch it.
I think I would watch it. I think I would watch it. I wouldn't go to cinema to see that, but I'd catch it.
What I do like in films is when they, you can tell that the fighting's been properly choreographed, and that's what this looks like.
Like John Wick.
Yeah, I like a bit of John Wick. I mean, it's not going to beat John Wick, because John Wick's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah. And also, I don't know who that actor is.
It looks like Tom Hardy's brother.
Mm. It did look a little familiar, but I'm not sure from what.
Let me tell you. I'll tell you what he's been in. The guy's name is Logan Marshall Green.
Never.
What a name.
He has been in... Oh, The Invitation. Have you seen that?
Oh, that's a good film. Happy.
It's a good little horror film. I won't say anything because I won't be able to say anything about spoiling it. What has he been? He's been in Spider-Man Homecoming. Adam might know from that. He's been in Prometheus.
Okay.
He was the guy who stood on top of the waterfall. He's the man.
Is that who it was? No.
No, he played Charlie Holloway. I guess he's one of the crew members, maybe. Must be.
Whoever he is.
By the way, did you both listen to the last podcast?
Yes.
No.
With the and new, you put in a new jingle.
I put in a new theme tune.
Yeah, the new theme tune for when we were just talking in the room and you just merged it into a theme tune.
Yeah.
Well, I can't remember what it was now.
It
what
was it? Ben's going to react to a trailer. Is it going to react to a trailer?
Oh, yeah.
Adam, do you remember when we were speaking and you said, yeah. Oh, that's the theme tune now?
Yeah.
That is the theme tune now.
I'll have to listen back to that bit.
Yeah, that was very well done. I meant to message
you. It's like a jazz. It's like a jazz.
It's really jazzy. It is really jazzy. It lasts for about 15 seconds afterwards as well.
The little trumpet playing. Oh, no, the saxophone, I mean.
It was great. Nice work, son.
Yes. Right. This brings us on to Ben Reacts to a Trailer.
Ben Reacts to the Trailer.
That's not the theme tune.
Roll the new theme tune.
Hello, Ben. Are you going to react to this trailer?
Yes, you're going to react to a trailer.
Right, Ben. You are going to be reacting to Terminal. Have
Terminal.
You heard anything about it?
No, the only
this
thing
isn't
I know...
the one with Tom Hanks in it.
No, Adam.
I like that film.
It's not The Terminal, it's Terminal.
Well, now, I know it's Margot Robbie and that's it. And I'm guessing it's something about killing or in the future.
Who knows?
Who
until,
knows?
Until you watch the trailer. Well, I mean, me
I'm
and Adam know because we've watched it.
Okay. So, shall I hit play and give you my comments?
Oh, yes, please. Yep. Yes, please.
All right. Silence, please. I'm about to watch.
Thank you.
Set. I kill you.
Green. Lots of green lights. Margot Robbie looking different again. This already looks like a foreign film. Wow, English accent. I haven't heard her in a film with an English accent. This is already pretty interesting, you know. Fucking hell. This is quite a unique style. Oh, it's a whole British film. Like British Blade Runner. There's a lot of neon here, though. I'm a bit annoyed by this now. Right? Now I'm a bit annoyed because I think this is too much style and not enough substance. It is like British Blade Runner. I'm not on this anymore. This started off really promising. I'm not on this anymore. This is now really annoying. And Simon Pegg is making it worse as well. I never like a film with Simon Pegg in pretty much. Unless it's one of his comedies. No, I am not feeling this. I am not feeling this. This won me over within the first 30 seconds and now it's constantly losing me. Oh, Mike Myers, fuck. That did not look like Mike Myers. I'm not interested in this. I don't like her accent either. Yes, no, that's no gooder.
Yeah, I felt exactly the same. It started off quite nice. And looked quite interesting. And then by the end of it, I was like, what the hell is that film?
I know.
It told me nothing. And it just looks like a load of people trying to be funny.
Quite. Exactly that. Trying to be witty. You know, trying to be like, oh, cheeky. Here's a little bit of style. Bang, like this. A bit like Guy Ritchie set in a neon world. I didn't like it.
I kind of liked it. It seemed, I don't know.
Of course you did, because you're a fucking 21-year-old.
23.
Are you 23?
Yeah.
Are you kidding? How old are you?
23.
Is he?
I think 94. He is. 21 seems a bit young.
Yeah, I know. For me, to me, you're always 21, Adam, man. I can't... You're at 23.
Yeah. It's like your age the other way around, isn't it?
I know. You liked it, though, did you?
Yeah, it seemed interesting.
It had my interest at first, but then it was like, this is all... I had no idea what that film was about.
Mm.
Yeah, that's the only thing. It didn't really tell you what it's about. Because apparently when you read the actual plot, it's about two assassins.
Well, I assumed she was an assassin, but there wasn't, like... There was no storyline, there was nothing gripping there, nothing that makes me want to go and see it. The only reason you go and see it is because you think, oh, that looks kind of fun.
Yeah. The plot says, in the dark heart of a sprawling anonymous city, Terminal follows the twisting tales of two assassins carrying out a sinister mission, a teacher battling a fatal illness, and an enigmatic janitor and a curious waitress leading a dangerous double life.
Yes.
Boring.
Yeah.
Which one would you rather go see then? Upgrade or that?
Upgrade.
Probably Upgrade, yeah.
100%. Mm. The weird thing as well, that Dexter Fletcher is in it. He normally does some good films. He picks some
good ones. He does, but he also does a lot of films.
Yeah.
And in amongst them, there's always going to be some shit. He always plays that gangster stuff, though.
Yeah. Have you seen Wild Bill? He directed it.
I know you love that film so much. I haven't, but I will see it.
It's a good film. I don't love it so much, but it's just a good film.
You do love it so much. You rate it a lot.
Okay, I rate it a lot. I'm just going to let you have it.
he was Babyface.
Can't be bothered to try and back myself up.
He was Babyface in Bugsy Malone.
Oh, he was indeed, yes.
Yes. Adam, have you seen Bugsy Malone?
No, I actually haven't.
Have you not, mate?
I've no.
Watch that film.
To watch.
Watch it so we can all ever sing along. We could have been anything that we wanted to be. Anyway, that's enough of that.
We're not interested.
We won't be giving him any money.
We don't want it. We don't want it.
He'll get no ticket money from us.
Never.
Maybe me.
Maybe Adam.
Traitor.
Pig.
Should we move on to our feature topic?
Yeah.
The main event. Here is our feature topic, plus Adam might do a rubbish plot summary.
Are you fucking serious?
Adam.
What?
Adam.
I got scratched by the cat.
Oh. Is that how you react?
Like on the back of my finger.
Like a baby. Wow.
I have to let him know that it's not pleasant.
Oh, poor cat. Shocked him. He was startled, I'm sure.
He'd give me one over my index finger.
Is it because you weren't paying attention to him?
No, I was pulling his leg because he was being annoying.
Oh, no wonder you're pulling his leg.
Only nicely.
Horrible father.
I'm the best.
Right, Adam, would you like to explain the plot of what we're talking about today?
What are we actually talking about today?
I will tell you, Adam, a little hint. We're going to be talking about underrated TV shows and overrated TV shows. Adam, can you explain what the plot is of what we're talking about today?
Talking about overrated TV shows, underrated TV shows, and things we hate in our favourite TV shows.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
You come out though yourself.
Yep.
You're very good at this job.
Last minute stuff.
Who wants to kick it off?
I'll kick it off. I'll
Go on,
kick
Benny.
It off.
Go on.
I would like to talk about things in shows that everyone loves and that we love, but which we find annoying. But so it follows on from what we were talking about last week about the shit that's annoying in movies. I want to talk about what annoys me in some of these big shows that everyone seems to love so much and overlooks all of their flaws no matter what happens. So,
okay.
I'm going to open it to the floor and I'm going to name a show and I'm going to open it to the floor. So I'm going to start with Game of Thrones.
Right.
So there's a few things that annoy me in Game of Thrones and a lot more recently as time has gone on.
One thing that annoys me in Game of Thrones,
go on,
I probably think you're going to say, is everything that's happening now is so obvious it's happening to an extent. There's been way too much foreshadowing of this show now and everyone's looked into it way too much.
I think that's a flaw because we've had all the books and the books are more foreshadowing than the
and
TV
it's starting
show.
To like be a bit like it's meant to be a great big moment. It's meant to be, but we kind of knew that was going to happen.
One of the things on my list is that last season because everything in it pretty much was like, well, we knew the end when the White Walkers crashed through the wall. Finally,
the only bit that you probably didn't know about was when Jaime fell in the water. and then they just brushed over that in about 2 seconds.
Yeah, see, that was good, and the dragon turning into a zombie was good, but like it felt like everyone knew that it was we were gonna have a zombie dragon.
Yeah.
Admittedly, I thought there would be one in the ice of the wall, but anyway, that's beside the point. But what mattered to me was when those White Walkers came through the wall right at the end, and then it cuts to black. I remember thinking, hang on a minute, that was the end of last season. It's meant to be fucking climactic. It wasn't, but it felt like it had been, because it always ends with the White Walkers coming real close. It's like, I swear they were just approaching the wall, and now we've watched this whole season where there's like massive jumps in time and in places, and yet the White Walkers still haven't made it through the fucking wall. I was highly annoyed.
I think that's the case because since season one, that is what everyone's been talking about. Them coming through the wall. Winter's coming, they're going to come through the wall, and it's only just happened the season before the last season.
I know.
It's always been building up for too long.
Yeah. What about you? Because what do you not like about it?
I actually haven't got any points that I don't like about it.
Liar.
Not that I can think of on top of my head. I don't want to try and just grasp out of the air and try and make a point when there's nothing that I can obviously say that's wrong with it.
The Dornish.
Yeah.
What about them?
But completely pointless. Very annoying. I guess
they are quite.
I'm not talking
quite
about overin. Yeah. Not even pretentious. Dull, man. Yeah. Every time it cuts to, what's that place called where they live? Dawn. Probably.
Yeah.
The Dornish, that mother and the three daughters is so annoying.
Yeah.
And that one daughter has that screw face all the time. It's like, this is crap. I really dislike this. And then they show you, it cuts back in the most recent season, it cuts back to Dawn for like one random scene that was completely unnecessary. It's like, don't even try bringing them into this story now. Please leave it out.
Yeah, their stories, they just made that for like, for no reason. It's just extra storyline that doesn't actually relate to anything, it seems.
Do you want to...
It's because Jamie disappeared there for ages. It's probably like, well, where's Jamie gone? But
only because they kidnapped the daughter. That was the only thing that of any consequence to the show.
Yes.
They didn't really kidnap her, did they?
Oh, yeah, she took it. She got given as a bride or something, didn't she?
Yeah, no,
But he went to bring her back because he knew that there was something strange there. Anyway, I didn't care for any of that stuff, really.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Ed Sheeran.
Yeah, oh yes.
I forgot that's
probably the only... We haven't really had any other big cameos, have we, from like actors, apart from that. Well, not actors, from just random people who just want to be in the show, not an actor.
Exactly. And that's why, when that happened, I thought, right, this is a warning sign for Game of Thrones now.
Yeah.
I remember that happening and thinking, shit, I think this show may have just jumped a shark. Because if it's willing to compromise fucking good story, which it has in that most recent season, for things like that, for favouring things like that, do you know what it's the equivalent of? It's the equivalent of Coldplay, who I used to like in their first couple of albums, who having like artistic integrity, sounding like good musicians, it's them 5 albums later having fucking Rihanna on the album.
Yeah.
It's like, where the fuck did that come from? You're not that kind of band.
It's almost like selling out,
you're not
isn't
that kind
it?
Of show.
Yeah. It feels like that whole scene, it did feel like this is a little rich boy who really loves a show and just wants to be in it. And
exactly.
They just sold out.
Yes.
That's what it felt like. Because it's just like, and this little section of story had no impact on the storyline whatsoever.
That was the one saving grace about it, because I thought, fuck, if Ed Sheeran's in this, he better not be coming back.
Yeah. And
can
even
you imagine?
they even had the boy from This Is England in it. That's what I didn't understand.
Oh yeah, they did.
Tom Turgoose.
Turgoose, yeah. What name?
Yeah. Like, to even put him in it, and he's a good actor.
Yeah, you're right. I forgot that he was in it as well. That was what was so jarring, that whole fucking thing.
So they just wasted him and put Ed Sheeran in it as well. It was weird. Strange.
Adam, you loved seeing Ed Sheeran.
No, I just moved it from my memory.
Because you can do that in life.
Yep, I forgot about it ever happened until you just recently mentioned it again.
That is true.
What's the thing he sings? A heart of gold is always cold, but a woman's touch is warm.
See, I don't know.
Oh, God. You know it far too well. How the hell do you know that song? You've been watching
that
scene a few times.
I just plucked it out of my brain.
You loved that scene. That's, you should be ashamed, boy. I thought Adam was a super fan. It's ye.
It's ye.
How annoying Maisie Williams is in real life, and how it's now tainted how I see Aya in the show. She's highly annoying.
She's just hyper, isn't she, in real life?
She's very hyper. She's like Daniel Radcliffe. You know Daniel Radcliffe has that thing where you would never want to be in a room with him.
Yeah, yeah.
She's like that. And she's highly annoying, and it's tainted how I see Aya, and now I'm kind of hoping that Aya gets it and dies. And also, I held the door open for her once, and she didn't say thank you.
Yeah, I remember that. You were so, just so excited to meet her as well, Ben.
I just thought you'd get like a nod of thanks.
Appreciation. But
she's far too important to give far thanks when people open the door.
I think that's the real reason.
Correct.
I don't think it's what she's like in real life. I think because she didn't say thank you, from now seeing her in interviews, you're like, oh, she really annoys me.
Well, you've got it in one, son.
Yeah.
I remember I unplugged her telly before she went into the room because I did this right. I pulled a HDMI cable out the back of her telly because I thought, because it was just, what, I can't remember what show it was. Me and you were in Stage Door, Adam, and I thought Stage Door would get a call and say, oh, can you come to Maisie Williams' room to fix her TV? So I thought it'd be a call in a minute. No fucking call. Too important to say thanks and too important to watch telly.
Horrible woman.
Anyway, I guess I'm done. Overall, Game of Thrones is very fucking good. These are minor quibbles, but
yeah,
the last season was the main quibble.
Yeah, I agree with that. It wasn't that it was a bad season. It's just that there was nothing surprising.
They have to pull it out of the bag for this final season and throw some surprises in there.
It's going
to
be very hard because I feel like every possibility has been spoke about.
But even if Ned Stark came back as a White Walker, even though we're talking about that as a thing, that would be great to see. And I would still say that's a shock or that's a surprise.
Yeah.
If Tyrion died, I would still say that's a shock and a surprise, yeah, even though you know that all of these things could happen.
That's the only shock we're going to get now. Every other like prophecy of whoever being on the throne or whatever, it's been spoken about, but not people actually just being killed. That's going to be the shock factor.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of people will die, eh?
Yeah, I hope so.
What would you do, right, if in the final episode of Game of Thrones, it's all built up, all the main players are descending on King's Landing, the White Walkers are there, there's this massive, massive battle that's about to take place, and as everyone goes charging in towards each other...
I'd hate it.
I'd hate it.
Don't even say it.
I'm not going to say it cuts to black.
Oh, okay, that's fine.
That would be annoying. It cuts to a man, looks like George R.R. Martin, in a 21st century room typing on a laptop, and you see him typing, and you see him typing the words.
And he dies. He has a heart attack.
No, and then he pauses. That would be bad. That might happen. He pauses, his fingers hovering above the keys, and he looks at the camera and he winks, and it cuts to black.
So this goes back to that whole prophecy that it's actually a book. Game of Thrones is all a book written by Sam.
That would be great. Don't tell me too much about that prophecy because I already like the sound of that and I haven't heard about that.
Yeah,
that sounds interesting.
That's more just like a little nice little touch at the end rather than a prophecy though.
That's why he's always in the library thing. That's why, like, it was his destiny to get there.
So none of the characters are actually real.
No, they are real.
No,
but
he's like writing the history book.
He's writing this book of him meeting all these kings.
Well, no, that's not that interesting. I would prefer we saw the writer wink at the camera and it cuts to black.
I'd hate it. I'd probably throw all my silverware away.
And wait, and then he winks to the camera, and then it goes to credits, and then there's a post-credit scene, and it comes back to him.
And he's in Lumberyard. Just him sitting there, all bearded, looking out the window.
Anyway, if this doesn't happen now, I'll be disappointed.
Right, I got another one. Let's speak about this. This is going to be an underrated TV show.
Oh, yes.
I know you'd love to talk about, Ben. I think 6 Feet Under is so underrated.
Yes, it truly is.
What a beautiful TV series. I'm sorry, Adam, that you haven't seen it and you can't get involved, but it's just such an underrated TV show that no one talks about.
Yeah, 100%. It feels like it came at a time when television shows were changing, because it came out towards the end of Sopranos, so it was sort of like doing that everyday slice of life thing, but at the same time you were starting to get shows like Breaking Bad coming out, mm-hmm. and like The Wire, that were like genre pieces, whereas this isn't like a genre, is it? It's just like, it's like life.
Yeah, it's just like watching a family. You're just watching a family's life. That's all
you're
doing.
Can you think of another show, that a television show, which is that, which is like basically drama, not...
Nothing is good.
Not genre, no.
Most shows have got to have some kind of impact on the family's life, and it revolves around that. Well, this is just literally, this is them, and each season, this is their life, what happens.
And it made me, in the first season, I didn't like it for that reason, because I thought, well, I'm just watching a family, and
a sitcom.
There's nothing going on.
It's like a sitcom.
No, well, there's weird moments.
Points, yeah.
And also, there's some points in it that made me really think, what the fuck am I watching? This is like a surreal comedy.
Mm.
But then, after you've watched it, that first season, the characters are with you, and it's like they are... Sounds stupid, but it's like they are people you legitimately know.
It's true. You get every emotion in that series.
I had nothing but tears, man.
Beautiful.
I've never cried so much at a TV show.
Neither have I.
Or anything.
Neither have I.
And you warned me. Well, you didn't warn me that it was emotional, but you said the ending of 6 Feet Under was the best, probably the best ending you'd seen or something like that.
It is. And it still
is. And I was thinking, oh, something's going to happen here, though, that maybe isn't. And then I watched it, and oh, boy.
Great. What a great way to end the show. No spoilers.
No spoilers.
Everyone who's listened to this has got to watch 6 Feet Under.
You showed me the finale.
Yeah, I know, because you would never watch it.
Oh, you showed him the finale?
Yeah, because Adam would never watch that show.
Even though after watching that, it doesn't really spoil the show.
No, but it's not so much that.
It's just life.
It's the journey.
It's life.
It's life, yeah. It's like if I say to you... Oh, no, I can't. It's too hard to talk about without spoiling things.
Mm. Okay, go on. Just go spoilers. If anyone doesn't want to listen to this and watch 6 Feet Under, then...
Then tune out.
Then tune out now.
Back to this podcast.
Tune out now for about a couple of minutes. Skip forward. Otherwise, listen to this if you're not actually going to watch the show, because it's beautiful.
The difference, the fact that you've seen that end scene, Adam, is like... If I tell you, I'd say, yeah, my mate Andrew's family, his grandparents and his mum and his dad, they all died last year. And you hear that and you go, oh, that's terrible. But that's it.
Very true.
Or if you watch, if you spend time, if I introduce you to Andrew and then you spend six or seven years with that family and then each of them dies, that's the difference, isn't it?
Yeah, but the reason Paul showed it to me was just to show how brilliant the idea of the ending was as well.
Yes, it was.
It's just so complete, that show. Watching every character you've loved and show how... Because the show is always about... The whole show is about death. It's about a family that lives in a funeral home. And just to get everyone's ending in the show is just so amazing. And you don't have to... You know that once you leave this show, you're not going to think, oh, what happened to them?
Yes.
Like Dexter sitting in a forest...
No one cares
what happens to you.
No, but you're quite right. It was like the perfect. It gave you an ending for each of them, and it was hard to see. But also, you fucking know that's how way life goes.
Yeah,
you knew that was going to happen as well. Everybody dies. That's the tagline for that final season. Everybody, everything, everywhere dies.
Yep.
That is your one certainty in life.
True.
Do you reckon Game of Thrones would be something similar to that? Maybe end it all.
If they did, they deserve a slap round the face, because that's cheating.
Yeah, it's not the kind of show that deserves that kind of ending.
No.
It needs a definitive ending.
And the only thing I think Game of Thrones is they might leave it open to do other stuff with it.
I hope not.
I hope not too.
Anyway, come on, Adam, you say something.
I don't know, I was thinking when you would write it, like you'd talk about your shows. Like Breaking Bad, I don't think I find anything wrong with it.
Go on, try.
It's a bit of a weird one, but the swearing in it. It's very limited, but it's also great because at the same time, I don't like it because it's, I don't know. And actually, no, that's not really a problem. Forget that.
I don't even understand what you're saying.
Yeah, I know.
It's the staple thing of every show. No one understands what Adam says for one sentence.
No. It's better. I don't worry about it. Just ignore that. Just delete that out.
Come on, man. Think. There's got to be something that you dislike. So
the ending. I don't think the ending was as good as I thought it'd be.
Really?
I agree. What it wasn't bad. It just ending? Wasn't that great.
Yeah, there was something missing. I wasn't left thinking, oh my god, that was amazing.
No.
I don't watch Breaking Bad for the ending. I watch it for the journey.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yes.
But it didn't need to have a big explosive ending.
It did.
I don't know.
I kind of feel like it did because it had so many big explosive moments along the way.
It needed to have a well-written ending, and that's what it did. That was more important. It gave you closure across the, like, everybody. Like, you kind of knew the main characters, what had happened to them, rather than just being a big finale.
I don't know. There was I just know that when I finished that show, that there was just a little something that I just wanted from it that I didn't get. I still don't know what it is.
It left a hole in your life. It will never be refilled.
But everyone knows. Everyone knew he was going to die in the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I didn't understand. I didn't know what I wanted from Jesse really by the end of it.
I like that he escaped and blitzed away, but it's like, yeah, see what you say. People say he gets he gets to be happy. He ain't going to be fucking happy, man.
Yeah.
Well, he gets his extent of freedom back.
He gets freedom, but, like, would you want that freedom after everything? How many people have died because of him?
Yeah, he always brings himself back into that hole.
In reality, he will fall onto drugs and kill himself. On the back of that. That's the reality.
You can't get out of that.
You know that whole second half of Breaking Bad in that final season?
Yeah.
Because they split it, didn't they? That second half, generally, isn't very good compared to the rest of the show.
Mm.
It's almost like once Hank finds out about Walt, like, the first few episodes after that are good.
I love how we're talking about this one as if we were so worried about 6 Feet Under spoilers at this one.
Because every fucker's seen it.
Yeah, true.
Like, I had a handyman coming around my flat the other day and he's just banging on about Breaking Bad. It's like, fucking everyone's seen it. My parents seen it. It's mad.
Yeah. If you haven't seen it now, I don't think you will see it.
No. But yeah, it's a bit anticlimactic afterwards. I don't know. There was the whole Lydia. You remember Lydia? What was the point of that? That was a bit dull. I found the Nazis generally to be a bit generally fucking dull.
Because we had like amazing enemies like Gus through like a few seasons, and then suddenly they just got these Nazis who we have no kind of relationship with, and they're kind of just the way to end the show.
Yeah, exactly. Because they thought bringing them in will make it a sort of explosive ending. Can I tell you a little nice bit of interesting bit of trivia about Mike's death
in
Breaking Bad? I read Bryan Cranston's biography, and he said that he never. Do you know? Remember when Mike dies? He's sitting on that bank, yeah?
Yeah.
And then Walt says to him, oh, never mind, I just remembered I can get, I can't remember exactly what it is, I can get the information from Lydia. Bryan Cranston said that he never wanted Walt to say that line, because when Walt said that line, it didn't just mean that he'd broken bad, it just meant that he was like a cunt, an absolute asshole that there is no sympathy for, because rather than just letting the man die and going and doing that, he's basically telling him the shit at the end to be vindictive. And he said that he didn't feel like that was in keeping with the character. And that whole day they were filming that scene, he was arguing with Vince Gilligan, who wasn't even there. He was on the other end of a phone, and he was calling him and saying, I don't want him to say this line, I don't want him to say this line. And Vince Gilligan was like, you need to say the fucking line. This is how it goes. This is Jonathan Banks' last day. He needs to film this. We haven't got him after tomorrow. We need to film this now. And Jonathan Banks got really upset because he just wanted to film his death scene. So they had a little bit of like a falling out about it. But then he said the line in the end, but Bryan Cranston said that's his biggest, the biggest regret and the biggest thing he doesn't like about Breaking Bad. It's actually quite interesting. If you haven't got the book, you should just read the Bryan Cranston section on Breaking Bad, because in his biography, he says, you all know about Breaking Bad. I'm not going to tell you stories about the good times. I'm going to tell you the bad times. Because they're so few and far between, but that's more interesting for you to hear about. Anyway, it's hard to find stuff about Breaking Bad as well.
The Wire, would you say The Wire is overrated? Because that's what a lot of people do say.
The Wire is overrated,
I've never
yes.
seen it personally, but that's it. What you said when you finished it.
Yeah, overrated. It's very long. The episodes are so long compared to what the story they're telling. And the journey is just not a fun journey. And by the time you get to the end, you're like, why the hell did I watch that? There's nothing that there's no nothing. It doesn't leave you with anything. It doesn't have a good ending, and I didn't care enough about the characters. I don't think, because everyone has in that show, everyone has their flaws, and it's like you're just watching them most of the time shoot themselves in the foot over something.
Yeah,
and it's like you just don't connect with any of the characters. That's just how I felt anyway. I know people love that show.
People love it. I don't see why.
Mm. I've never watched it. But
I would never recommend it.
No. Also, there's too much street talk that I don't understand in it. I don't just mean the gangsters. I mean, like, the police lingo. Like, all of the, like I don't know what the fuck you lot are saying.
And it's so hard to get on that show. Just watching the first few episodes, it's just so hard. Like, just to get into it.
Yeah. It's a slog. It is a slog. I've given that a chance twice. I started it from scratch twice. I never made it past episode 7. That's as far as I got. Both times.
What about, like, your favourite show, like Twin Peaks, Ben? Do you think you find a flaw in that?
Sorry?
You think you could find a flaw in Twin Peaks?
Could I find a flaw in Twin Peaks? Well, the beauty of the perfection of Twin Peaks is that it is imperfect.
It's true. I can agree with that show. It doesn't have to be perfect, that show, because there's so much going on that anything, any randomness or weird things about that show could be intentional.
Yeah.
And it's like, so I don't think you can ever say if this was a bad thing or a good thing in any sense.
No, exactly. And you know, like everyone sort of says, yeah, season 2, like those middle 10, 15 episodes is like comedy and it's like nonsense stuff. But that's the whole kind of, like, David Lynch never wanted that, but seeing Twin Peaks as a whole, it's fucking brilliant because of that. Because it's such a dark fucking show in places, doing some amazing shit, that in the same show it's got this weird fucking sitcom nonsense where people go back to thinking they're generals in the Civil War. You would say that.
If you did it for about 3 or 4 episodes, it might have worked, but for 10 or 15 or whatever it turned out to be, it just dragged. Because you're watching like an hour each time and nothing really happens.
Stuff is happening, just, mate. It's the mystery.
They kind of just spoon something in there at the end to make you think, oh, alright. It's just the same again and again. Just a bit like The Walking Dead. Nothing really happens and they put something at the end to make you feel a bit interested. And then it's not really
that good anyway. I wish there was a fucking show that Adam loved that me and you just hated, Paul.
I know.
Here's the thing, Adam. Let me tell you. You must go on to the Twin Peaks movie and Twin Peaks The Return, because it's like a whole other beast. It's not even... It is a continuation, but it ain't. It's not like what you've already seen. It's so fucking different. And the movie is the perfect bridge between what you've seen and what The Return is. Because the movie takes...
Have a little break from Twin Peaks. And I'll come
you've
back.
Had a long enough... You've had long enough.
It's been like 3 months.
It's been longer than that, mate. You finished it last year. Get on it. Get on it, I say.
Think of some good stuff for 2 minutes. I've just got to help Zoe put stuff in the car.
I tell you something. While Paul's away, let me tell you something about Paul's recommendations, yeah? This is what Paul likes in a TV show. A male... Or not even a TV show, any film. A male character who is like a sheriff or chief... Or tough guy, a leader of something. Yeah?
Yeah.
If he can have a badge and a gun, all the better. Do you know what he looks for in TV shows?
What?
Woody. It's true. The Walking Dead, Woody.
Yeah.
Banshee, probably Woody.
Yeah.
The thing, the Leftovers, that you ain't watching, but that me and him are watching, that guy, he could be Woody. He's chief of police. This is the trend.
See, Banshee was alright. I've got one season left of it, but I haven't watched it in about a year. And I'm a bit like, oh.
I'm back. Let me just say something for the end of Twin Peaks.
Yeah?
So when you spoke about the whole second season, when it has that whole block of episodes... just feels like it's just dead time most of the time.
Yeah.
It feels like most of that can be forgiven, because if you look at a series as a span, most seasons of shows, they have dead time in the middle of each season.
Yeah.
whereas Twin Peaks has all that dead time in just that second season, and the rest of the episodes are just full on.
Yeah, you're quite right.
To be fair, yeah, but at the same time,
and also, you could say that they're dead sort of episodes, but the bizarreness and the weirdness of them when it's just being silly is contributing to the sort of character of Twin Peaks.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, but it also contributes to the characters as well. Anyway, you need to. It's almost like this is the getting to know the characters.
Yes.
Which I can forgive.
Oh, good.
Because it was very good in the end.
I'm so glad. I'm glad you came round to Twin Peaks, my man.
I got another underrated one.
Yep.
Leftovers. I know you haven't finished it, Ben.
We would just mention that in passing, you know.
Yeah?
You'll find out why when you listen back.
Why?
Don't worry, mate. You'll find out why when you listen back.
You listen to me.
No, I don't know. No, I don't know what to say about
it. No, you do.
I was waiting for your contribution. I don't think it's a great show.
Yeah.
I don't want to not going to ruin it, because I know you haven't watched the last season.
No, please don't.
You watched the second season, haven't you?
I've watched the second, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's a great show, great characters, interesting story, but I don't think it really matters about the story, like the actual plot of the whole show. It's more about the characters and how they react to each other, because the plot of the show is actually like secondary. It's just something that has happened in the background. It's kind of like the past of the show rather than the actual show.
Yeah.
And that's, you know what, this is actually another, saying that we couldn't find another 6 Feet Under style show. This is kind of like that, but there's more like crazy elements to it than 6 Feet Under. You're getting more than just the relationships between the families.
Yes.
And it's not based on one family. It's more based on quite a few people.
Would you say, is The Leftovers very similar to The Walking Dead, like the both end of the world kind of thing, a group of survivors?
Nothing like it.
No, nothing.
So it just comes along
it's,
that same
it's,
time.
It's more drama with hints of.
If
hints
you,
of
I would say if you crossed Twin Peaks with 6 Feet Under, you'd probably come up with Leftovers.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. There is a lot of surreal stuff happening in Leftovers. 100%.
The best is that fucking. This doesn't really spoil anything for you, Adam, so don't worry, but there's a scene where the lead character has to sing a karaoke song in order to escape from one situation and get back to another situation, and it's like, that is brilliant. Just brilliant. And he's like,
so good,
weeping while he's doing it, and you're like, oh my god, this is such a fucking surreal situation that's completely unrelatable, yet at the same time you can feel every emotion he's going through at that moment.
Agreed. Great show.
But I got to say, season one was good, but I remember thinking, if season two doesn't do something new, I'm not sure that I'm going to stick with this. But season two came along and blew me away.
How weird season two, when you watch that first episode, it's not even about the main characters.
That's right, it's not, is it? It's about the other family.
And it makes you think, what the hell am I watching?
Yeah.
It's a totally different show. That's what it feels like.
And
it's great.
I can't wait to see season three. If you've whet my appetite for that, perhaps we shall start it tonight.
Oh, beautiful.
Ooh, maybe.
But you know something weird about that show?
What?
With 6 Feet Under, it's 6 Feet Under in this show, right? 6 Feet Under has never had a Blu-ray release.
No.
Right? I wish they bring it out. Leftovers, half of the. I think season one brought out on Blu-ray. Season two and three, they don't bring out on Blu-ray.
That's just irritating.
You're wrong, mate. I've got them all on Blu-ray.
Yeah, you might. Yeah, you've probably got an Australian version.
Oh,
where'd
right.
You get it
oh,
from?
Sorry. Hang on. I'll tell you.
They don't bring it out in the UK, so you have to find it, like on eBay or something.
You're quite right. I just checked. Yeah, both of them are imported. Yeah.
Yeah. How strange.
That is strange.
So strange, and it's because they apparently because of the viewership wasn't as good in the UK, and that's what I'm saying. This is an underrated show.
Yeah, absolutely in the UK than it is. And it's true, because I remember when people were tweeting Sky Atlantic saying, look, this show is almost finished in America, you still haven't put the first fucking episode on over here. And then they released it all at once. It's like, what's the point?
Yeah. Great show.
Anyway, yes, very good. Adam, you would like that one as well. I think that's one Adam would like.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. I'm going to guess what you guys are talking about when I was away.
Go on.
What's that?
You're probably talking about Walking Dead.
No,
you
not really.
Did mention Walking Dead, though.
But I was expecting Adam to bring up Walking Dead, saying it's overrated.
He did.
No, the thing is, Walking Dead as well is not only it's overrated, it's gone on for too long.
Yeah.
I think he's the...
Can I tell you about Walking Dead?
Let's talk about Walking Dead, because we all feel
I can tell you about Walking Dead and how it's not overrated or underrated. It's actually just bang in the middle, because Walking Dead, it has so many viewers, right? So you would say because it has such a big fan base that it's overrated, but it's not, because most of the fan base complain about the show. So it can't be overrated if everyone's complaining about it.
It should have just stopped, is what it should have done.
It's not, because at the same time, everyone still loves watching it, even though they complain about it.
But I don't.
I don't feel they love watching it, I feel like they have to watch it, because they feel like they've invested too much time into it.
See, but me, I love the show.
Yes.
I don't complain about it, because I just really enjoy watching it.
That's fine.
It's one of those shows where you either love it or hate it.
I hate it.
I still think is with Walking Dead, is the first episode of Walking Dead was brilliant.
Yeah, the first one was.
That was like, I thought, wow, like this is actually going to be a really good show. Like, if that's a good first episode. But then after that, it was just...
But then, do you know what was the death bell for it? Episode 2, when Glenn appeared. And I thought, right, if you are going to have characters like this in it...
This you hate Glenn me. So much.
Yeah, because he was so fucking two-dimensional. They all were after that. Rick was gripping to watch, and maybe he said this, I don't know, I haven't watched it since season 3 or 4, whichever one it was, but all the other characters were always so fucking two dimensional, like Prison Break, where none of the characters have any depth. Same.
Prison Break's overrated, man. I hate that show.
Yeah, Prison Break is overrated. But you have to watch it all.
And so I did watch it all.
I haven't watched the so full season. I watched
Teabag.
Teabag.
They got out of Sonar, and I was like, I can't bother to watch this anymore.
You know that Teabag's coming under a lot of allegations about sexual harassment.
Kind of just doesn't surprise
me. It came natural to him in Prince Break, didn't it?
I know, that makes it a little bit... If, well, hang on, let's not judge him, but there's always a possibility. He may be innocent, but if he isn't, it makes him even more creepy in that role.
Yeah, let me just throw some quick ones out.
Go on.
Which I think are underrated. Lie to Me. Which got cancelled.
Yeah, Jenny likes that one very much.
It was so good. It was such a good show. Tim Roth, brilliant.
Yeah.
He's a... It was a bit CSI, like every episode was following a new storyline.
See, that's what I don't like.
But it was
too
really
tough.
Clever. Yeah, I don't like that either, but this was one show that I forgave it, because it was a very clever show, and I just liked Tim Roth's character.
What about Fringe by comparison? That one was good, episodic, but that was good.
Yeah, Fringe. I think Fringe was better.
Yes.
I don't think that's underrated or overrated. I think that was just exactly where it's supposed to be.
Correct. I would agree with that.
Yeah. Because I've watched that show and I haven't thought about it since.
Yes.
Every so often I think about it, but it's not like one that sticks in my memory.
Well, I think of it. I like it.
Hmm. It was good though. It was good. Entertaining.
Yeah. Yes. Tim Roth was also in that Tin Star, which I don't know if either of you two have seen, but at first, it's one of those shows where they've done a season and there's no point in doing any more now, but they are, but it was perfect as it was, so season 2 is clearly going to fuck everything up.
Yeah, yeah. It's normally the way.
But he's very watchable.
It's normally, they have a story which they want to make into a TV show, they complete the story in the first season.
Yeah.
And then they don't know what to do after that.
That's right.
Banshee's very good. That is underrated. No one talks about it.
Me and Adam talked about it.
We briefly mentioned Banshee, yeah.
And then, okay, and Adam probably said that I've overhyped it.
No. I just don't think it...
No?
I don't know about Banshee. It just seems... It's very forgettable. It's good when you're watching
but
it.
For such a low... It seemed a low-budget show... It's got some really good action scenes in it.
Is it that low budget though? I haven't seen that low budget.
I think it is. It's not a show that I would highly recommend to anybody. But it was just not on the radar for anyone, and it was a bit of fun.
Yes.
And then Spartacus as well.
Because it made you cry.
Because that's the only other TV show that's made me cry, and that is not because of the show. It's because of the actor who died in the first season.
Oh.
But that was a bit of fun. That was another show that had really good like choreography. That's all I've got to say. That's all the shows
You've
I've written
watched
down.
A lot of shows.
I have watched a lot of shows, and not a lot of. Do you know what else is overrated? Mad Men.
Yeah.
Because that
I'm
is
amazing that you is, stuck with that.
That is style over substance.
Yes, it is.
I got to the end of the show and I was like, why did I waste my time watching all that?
Yep.
Nothing sat of me. I can't make any like funny references about what happened in Mad Men because there's nothing happens that's of any consequence.
Fucking ridiculous. It was so pretentious. I can't remember any moment from it that was significant.
Yeah.
The only thing I can remember is "It's toasted" was the slogan for the cigarettes.
Yeah. That's all.
Ridiculous.
That is pretty overrated, that show.
Yeah. Definitely 100%. And yeah. Also, do you want to know a show that's now overrated? I think I spoke about it last time. Black Mirror.
Yeah, it's pretty overrated now.
Season 1, very good. Season 2, yeah. 3 and 4, oof.
I think 3.
It's like, oof, Maron.
That show is... They started off nice and small.
Yeah.
Small budget. Everyone's like, look at these little cool, little quirky films we're making. And everyone's like, oh, these are really good. Look, They're showing all their friends. Yeah. Oh, now everyone else wants to see this show. Let's take it to America. Let's make it big budget. Look what we can do, guys. We can do this stuff.
Exactly.
No, I still think season 3 has some gems in it, though.
Go on, which one?
Well, the one, the Shut Up and Dance one. The one with the kid.
Yeah, that one is good. That one is brilliant. That's the best one. Yeah, that is true. That one is very good, yes.
I can't remember it.
It's the one where you're following the kid all the way through, and he's like, someone is
the
sort
kid's
of
getting blackmailed.
Oh, yeah, the paedophile.
Well, you spoil it now, but yeah.
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 We don't care. I don't care about spoiling that show.
No.
No. Let's go to what we've been watching.
Do you want to find out what we've been watching, Big Boy?
Oh, yeah, Tommy. Tommy's hot right now.
I'll start off with a couple of things. I watched John Wick 2.
Oi!
First time?
Yep. Brilliant.
Great film.
Loved it.
What did you think?
Very good film.
Yeah.
And then going...
As better than the first?
No, but it wasn't worse, like you said the last week. It wasn't worse. I don't know if it's better, but it's still very good.
No. Quite. Exactly.
I mean, I gave it like
it does the first one justice.
Like a 9 out of 10. Very high praise.
I agree with that, yeah.
I'll give it an 8, but yeah.
I also watched The Raid 2 again. Going back down the action. Brilliant film again. I
haven't seen The Raid 2 yet.
Fantastic.
I need to watch those films again.
The Raid was good.
I don't have a big enough memory of The Raid when I've watched the first time.
And then I also watched a very old film called Jewel, the Spielberg film.
Jewel?
Yeah.
The Spielberg?
Yeah.
Ah. Yeah. And how was it?
I enjoyed it. It's just...
I haven't seen it, man.
So weird. It's like pretty much no dialogue. Very, very simple. I mean, it's only like an hour and 20 minutes long. About the truck just chasing a car across the thing.
Yeah, I've heard it. I've heard it's meant to be really good.
Is it like?
I've never even heard of it.
I've heard that it's like it's what made him want to make. Or someone said this is why you've got to make Jaws because it's basically a truck in the water. The shark is the truck in the water. Same film, but the shark is the truck.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I can see why now you said it, but yeah, great, good film.
Is that before or after Jaws?
Before. It's the very first film he ever
before Jaws.
Did.
Okay.
Well, his first feature.
I would like to see that.
Apparently, it was a TV film. It's a film that went out on TV, but it's like the first feature length film he did.
There's a. I don't know how similar it is, but there's a film by William Friedkin, the guy who did The Exorcist, called Sorcerer. And it also is about a truck that goes ploughing after people. And it's meant to be so fucking good. The only reason I'm talking about it is because it's just coming out on Blu ray. I think I might buy it.
And also.
But that's a good one.
I watched. Does anyone else talk about this? Paul, do you want to talk about what you watched before I say this one?
No, go on, finish.
Ready Player One, which we were meant to do. We were meant to do our feature length on this week, but Ben didn't get to see it. So
let's hear what you thought about Ready Player One.
Okay,
let's tell Ben how it was.
Okay, so first of all, my rating, I give it 7 out of 10.
So did I.
Oh, good. I'm so glad I didn't see it then.
Why?
Because if you give it 7, I would have given it lower.
Really?
You probably would.
The film itself is a good film. It's good,
7's not
fun
good.
Film. It's nothing outstanding, it's nothing amazing, but it's just a good,
nothing,
fun film.
There's nothing really rememberable in it.
There is actually the one thing that is rememberable in it is the Shining part, which I thought was brilliant.
Since when did rememberable become a word?
Rememberable.
Remember.
You both said it, just like it was totally normal.
Okay, Ben.
Go on, say about The Shining.
Picture this, Ben, right?
Yeah, I'm picturing it.
You got original shots of The Shining.
Right.
And they've got CGI characters in The Shining.
So you're going to say it like that, Ben is automatically going to hate it. I just think Ben should just watch it.
What's the point?
Ben, just...
So, like,
Ben, just watch this.
They come
the
out
film.
And they see the two little girls in the hallway.
Yeah.
And it's the actual little girls from the film.
Right.
And they're reacting to it. They're basically like... It's almost like they're in a haunted house, but it's The Shining.
Oh, right.
Ben, just watch that scene of the film. Just watch that sort of segment of the film.
Yeah, fine.
And then tell
that
us
sounds highly...
Yeah,
that's...
Yeah, I know. You would either hate it or you'd think, oh, it's actually quite cool and it's a nice little homage.
It starts off quite nicely, but then it gets over-CGI'd and all, like, the old woman in the toilet starts turning into a monster and stuff like that.
Oh, right. This don't sound very good.
Yeah, the film, overall, it's...
It's nice.
So it's all filled with references,
yeah.
Overpacked with references.
But that's what the whole...
So many that you can't even know, you don't know where you're looking because there's too many in there.
That's what I thought.
And all the references that are in it are the most obvious references to things that it's like they're just pushing in your face for no reason.
But that's what the book is like, apparently.
But it's not, but if it was specific references...
Like there was one part at the end of the film where they're in a car and someone gets punched in the face and they fall out of the car. They get knocked out, and I thought, and they start playing the music from Back to the Future, which I thought was a nice little hint kind of thing.
Yeah, which is all right. It's fine.
There was
little hints like that's good.
Yeah.
But when they're saying like, when they're suddenly doing like Night Fever in the disco.
Oh yeah.
And it's like, but the thing is, the crazy thing about this film, right? It's set in 2045. So think about how long Night Fever came out compared to that film.
Yeah.
Right. This isn't relevant anymore. It's not relevant in that universe.
It's not meant to be relevant, is it? It's not going to... You're not going to put loads of references in it to the things nobody knows because they're not existing.
But it's not relevant. Make it modern day.
Yeah, but that's not... It's a whole... Like, that kind of culture of the gaming. Like, all the games they play are all old Atari games. That's what the whole thing's based
playing,
around.
You were playing PlayStation games. No. You were playing nice little PlayStation 4 games.
Yeah. They had Minecraft in there.
Anyway, it was oversaturated with references. Ben,
well, it doesn't,
you would have hated it.
It sounds like I dodged a bullet.
Yeah, you would have hated it. Don't worry about it. I also watched Annihilation on Netflix.
Yes, and
I know you were going to watch it, Ben. And did you watch it?
I haven't watched it, but I want to hear your review. Without spoilers, I want to hear your review.
My review is 5 words.
Okay.
What a pile of shit.
Well, good.
Really?
I'm glad I ain't seen it then.
But yeah. It's got good reviews elsewhere.
Man, it's got good reviews because the people who watch it are idiots because they love a pretentious film.
Oh, okay, is it pretentious as fuck?
It's so pretentious, and it ends on like... Do you know when a film's good and then it gets to a point where, okay, we're just gonna go really like philosophical now and
yeah.
we're gonna try and craft something that it makes sense in our universe, but it's nothing to do with like real life, like knowledge. It's just we're just going to make our own kind of story about this thing that we've created in this show, and we're going to hope people are going to care about it.
Interesting.
And that's what it was, and it was absolute... Do you know what I'm going to say? It was absolute bogus.
It was totally bogus, was it?
I thought you were going to say garbage.
Listen, up to three quarters of the film, I was really on board of it. And then it just got so dumb.
So it's the ending that let you down?
Yeah. Because basically the ending was basically why the rest of the film was happening.
Right. I am going to watch it still because I'm intrigued. Even though you're giving it the bad review, I want to see what the letdown is.
And you'll probably love it.
No, probably not. It's partly what's made me not want to watch it is I kind of got a little sense that it was going to go that way. Particularly yeah. because Natalie Portman can be deemed to be a bit pretentious at times. And if she's in a film like this, which kind of looked like it could be quite fun, I thought, there's probably going to be too much of a serious side to it as well.
Yeah, it was fun. And there's probably one really good scene in it, which involves them all tied to a chair with this weird monster thing.
Say no more.
Yeah, that's all I'm going to say. But yeah, watch it, because I will be interested in hearing what you have to say.
Okay, I will. I'm going to tell you what I've watched. I watched, which you boys know about, Get Out 2 days ago. And we kind of said this off podcast, but I think we all agree that it was overrated.
So overrated.
If anything, it was just a standard horror movie. I'm struggling to see how this was Oscar nominated for whatever it was, best original screenplay or something like that. Because that's like giving best... how did Saw not get best original screenplay, but Get Out did?
Yeah.
Saw was well fucking written, original, clever. And Get Out, it was original and it was clever moments, but ultimately it was like, I hated all that hypnosis shit and being in the sunken place and being controlled.
If it was based a bit more on reality, then I'd agree with it, but it's the hypnotising things and all that, it's a bit like, why is this? What am I watching?
And can someone tell me what the fuck was with that bingo scene?
Oh, they were all bidding. It's like them bidding for the people, wasn't it?
Bidding. I thought it was bingo.
Yeah, that was their way of doing it without anyone realising what they're actually doing, I think.
I see. I mean, it was good. If there had been no hype.
You love it now, don't you?
Yeah, now that I know that they were bidding. Fucking hell, yeah, man. If I'd stumbled upon that, or if no one really spoken about it and it just came out, then I'd be like, yeah, that was pretty good. But it's because there was so much hype. I was expecting something that was like, because people are saying stuff like, this is revolutionary, this is game changing, this is, it was kind of like, and what I don't like is it spawned all these horror films, which I'm now seeing coming out of black people in residential situations with white people, and the white people are all monsters. It's like, hang on. Let's not go down that fucking route and start doing all these cheap, shitty movies like that, just making white people out to be the monster the whole time. That's not it. Which this film wasn't doing, but you can see how it's setting a dangerous precedent for those other things.
Yeah, it was good in the sense that it wasn't really to do with... I guess it was to do with slavery, because they were kind of enslaving their mind. But it was to do with... They wanted... It was like black people were trendy and they all wanted to have a black person as a friend or as like a partner.
Yeah.
Which was interesting, but it just wasn't good enough.
No, it's not. Mm. And I don't buy... Yeah, exactly. I don't buy the whole thing. Like, the guy who was blind, why did he need a black person's eyes? Could have been anyone's eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
And when they're like feeling him up, say, oh, you're a strapping young man and all that, obviously because they want his physique. There's white people who have those physiques too. So you can't... Yeah. The sort of like metaphor that black people are ideal and that everyone wants something that's black didn't work for me.
Mm. Yeah.
But I liked him. I thought he was very good in it. Yeah. And I like Key and Peele. I like Key and Peele very much.
Yeah. So
they're making a Get Out too, aren't they?
See, that's already alone. Pointless, man. Leave what the alone. Fuck?
Who's going to fall for it twice?
I didn't like the his girlfriend.
Yeah, you hated her.
I hated her. She reminded me of Keira Knightley all the way through. It's like, stop your bad acting.
I thought it was
And then, Knightley. You did. She's like her. And then when she's revealed to be part of the plan, I hate that she, like, her clothes turn all different and she does her hair a different way. It's like, this is stupid.
Yeah.
But the other film that I saw the other day, which, and this is the last one I'm going to mention, which I give a fucking firm 10 out of 10, think is the best film that I've seen this year, cinema or otherwise, was Moonlight.
Oh, yes.
See, I haven't seen it.
7.
Adam, you haven't seen it?
No.
7 out of 10. 7 out of 10.
So he gives it 7 out of 10, and I give it 10 out of 10. Would you like to say why you give it 7 out of 10, Paul?
Too much use of graphic homosexual scenes. Not because
you sound like felt... such a bigot.
Not because it made me uncomfortable, but because it didn't need to be done, because you can tell someone's homosexual without having to make someone toss someone off on a beach. I don't want to see some woman toss a guy off on a beach to go, oh, they're straight.
But right, two things. You said there was too much graphic homosexual stuff. That was the only bit.
Was it? I can't remember.
See? And I agree with you. You know that I agree with you, because we said in the last podcast about the no need to see the sexual shit because it is boring. But actually, at that point in the film, when that happens, I didn't know for sure that his character is gay. It's hinted at a lot, but I didn't know for sure.
That's
but
why when that that's happens, what I appreciate. I appreciate like the subtleties and then building the character up, and that you can see that he's scared to be this homosexual black man, and I like that as the story, but you don't need to have extravagant scenes on top of that, because it doesn't add anything. I don't feel it doesn't add anything to the story. It's just doing it to shock.
I don't think it was doing it to shock, though, man. I don't think it was doing it to shock. That wasn't his intention. His intention was to show that in that situation, that was how they revealed how they really felt to each other, not with words, but through the act.
Yeah.
Because they kissed first, and then he reaches and unbuckles him. And Adam, who's listening to this, mm-hmm. you probably think the way that... Okay, he said graphic tossing off scene. What do you think you see?
Graphic is like full on, like almost porn, rather than.
So what do you think you see in this film when that scene's happening?
Probably not. Probably like a back shot, and then you see his hand down in trousers in the motion.
Exactly.
That's what I'd have thought, like, that they would have put in the film, not actually like you see everything happening.
And it lasts like 20 seconds, but.
I don't want to see him wipe his hand on the sand.
Mate, he wasn't wiping his hand on the sand. I knew. No, that's not what he was doing. He was enjoying the climax, so he squeezed his hand through the sand. Now listen, Cheeky.
Enjoying the climax.
Listen, that is tough to give 7 out of 10 just for that.
Yeah,
because that seems to be your main problem.
Yeah, but this is the thing. It's just to me... It's just a bog standard relationship for like a romantic film.
No.
That's just like me watching a love film between a man and a woman. I just feel it's the same thing. So it doesn't interest me.
A different thing though, man, because it's not just just a love story. I wouldn't call that a love story, that it has that romantic element of it. But for me it's a film about identity, this guy trying to work out who he
did
is.
Did he get Best Picture?
It did. It beat La La Land.
Do you think it deserved Best Picture?
Yeah.
What about Best Actor as well? Didn't he get it as well? Was it Best Supporting Actor?
Well, interestingly, the guy who won for Best Supporting Actor is only in the film. Is only in like the first 20 minutes of the film. Now, he was good, but the guy who played... what was his name now? I can't remember his name. Black. The guy who played him when he was older, I thought he should have got something as well.
Yeah, but it depends if he was done as leading actor, because I think he was Best Supporting Actor, didn't he?
I don't think it was bog standard. It was very original, because it never felt to me like this was a love story, you know.
But this is the thing, right? How long? So that was last year's Oscars. So I probably saw it like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Right. And I can't remember it as well as I think I can. All I can remember in that film happening is that beach scene, and then him having a relationship, not a relationship, just like him and the guy who was up for supporting actor. He was he was bringing him up, he was raising him, kind of.
That's all
I remember about that film. So, that.
You don't remember that, all that diner stuff towards the end?
No, so for that, I remember when he was older and the guy who looks nothing like the guy when he was younger comes back into his life.
Oh, you just picking this thing apart, boy.
Listen, I can't give it any higher than a 7 because I've watched the film and I have no interest in watching it again, and it hasn't, and I can't remember any of it, so it obviously was pretty average.
Oof, this is awful. What would you give La La Land?
10.
I'd give it an 8.
Would you? Fucking wrong. Totally wrong, mate.
I can remember pretty much all of that film. That was the same year.
That love story in that, I'm more interested in the side story love story in Moonlight than the main one in La La Land, even though I liked La La Land. But I'm more interested in the Moonlight one. La La Land would get an 8 probably from me, but Moonlight gets the 10. La La Land was so... Let me tell you something. This is why I make the discrepancy between a fucking 8 out of 10 film, 7 out of 10 film, or a 10 out of 10 film. La La Land was a bunch of privileged white people making a privileged white people's film about the movie business and showy and la la la, look at this, fucking, here we go, you're going to be an actress, you're going to be a singer, you're going to be a musician, do this, make all these songs, we're dancing on the freeway, hey, hey, dancing on the freeway, we're doing musicals again, everyone's going to love watching the musical again.
I hated that first scene. That's the only bit I hated from La La Land. I hated that first scene.
All them girls singing around the house, you're going out on a date tonight, you're going out on a date tonight, you're going out on a date tonight, all of that stuff, all of that stuff. The Academy Awards, the Oscars, were fucking destined to chuck that fucking thing at them.
Okay, I'll give them like 10
fitting,
out of 10.
It's fitting that they fucking went up on stage to pick up their Oscar and had to hand it over to Moonlight, which was a fucking film that came from some real pure place, some fucking real feeling and experience and some emotion. Any privileged cunt could make La La Land. Let's say, oh yeah, they did musicals before. Let's go make fucking musicals again. Moonlight was something. It's like, I'm feeling something now. There's something really happening here. These are real interesting characters. This is a story. When you get to the end of it, you feel whole. You know, like after you have a really good meal, you eat a really lovely meal, and you get to the end of it, and you feel, oh fuck, that was perfect. And you get the right dessert at the end, everything. They had the full three courses. Where La La Land is like, here, let's take you to fucking TGI Fridays. Everyone's having such a great time, ain't they?
I can tell you right now, I enjoyed La La Land, but Moonlight just didn't give me enough.
It gave you an erection, and that's what you feel bad about.
I know is that La La Land was more memorable than Moonlight. That's all I can say. And it was 2 years ago that I watched both of them. And yes, I can barely remember either of them. But that's all I know.
If I set you in front of a disco ball for 2 hours, you would remember that because you're being assaulted by lights and senses for 2 hours. But that's if true. I sat you in a room and had a conversation with you for 2 hours and a year passed, you wouldn't remember what we spoke about, but that would have been more meaningful than watching a disco ball spin and flash its lights
true.
At you.
It's true.
Memory, all the metaphors.
But then I can watch something like Into the Wild and it can affect me emotionally, and I absolutely love that film, but this one, it just didn't. So
I know, I didn't like Into the Wild.
Exactly, and I loved Into the Wild.
There we go, horses for courses. Everybody's right and everybody's wrong.
Yeah.
You can get in touch with us too at FilmbustersPod on Instagram, Facebook and Twitter. Or you can email
Adam's
us at filmbusters@outlook.com. Filmbusters@outlook.com. Filmbusters.